Let's take our Bible today, please, and open to Romans chapter 1, the first chapter of the book of Romans. This is the fifth message in a series of messages which we're calling straight talk about the moral issues that face our society. Today's message is straight talk about homosexuality. There are a number of myths regarding homosexuality, which have found widespread acceptance in our society. For instance, there is the myth, which has been perpetuated now for some 40 or 50 years, that 10% of the American people are homosexual. That 10% are heterosexual and the other 80% are not quite sure what they are. They just vacillate back and forth. And this myth came from a study conducted about a half a century ago by a man named Kinsey, and it was actually conducted in a prison where homosexuality is rather common and rampant. The actual figures are somewhere between 1.2% and maybe 2.5%, somewhere in that neighborhood. Well, there is the myth that homosexuality is an unchangeable, genetically based sexual orientation. That is, they would say to us that just as some of us are born with white skin and some are born with black or brown or dark skin, then some people are born heterosexual and others are born homosexual, and there's really not a thing they can do about it. Then there's the myth that the homosexual lifestyle is a legitimate alternative lifestyle. And we're told that it's a gay lifestyle. Now, gay used to be a good word. It meant happy, joyous. But now it's been co-opted by a group of people who are seeking to persuade other people that their abnormal lifestyle is in fact a gay lifestyle. It is a legitimate lifestyle. It is a lifestyle which they would say to us is just as honorable and just as moral and just as upstanding as is the traditional family-centered monogamous lifestyle of heterosexual marriage, which most people experience. Sadly, these myths are finding a growing acceptance in our society. Now, why are they finding acceptance? Well, one reason is because there are some governmental agencies and some of the larger industries and some of our educational institutions have gone out of their way to sensitize the heterosexual population to the legitimacy, or what they would say is the legitimacy, of the homosexual lifestyle, so that they have these compulsory sensitivity training sessions to perpetuate these myths and other myths about homosexuality. Now, in the face of this, for the most part, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has chosen to stick its head in the sand and avoid the issue. And far too many pulpits have been silent on the issue. And so it's time for some straight talk. Some straight talk from the Word of God about homosexuality. I invite you to follow as I read now from Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 21, and reading down through verse 28, what God has to say in His Word about this issue. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Now, as we think this morning about the issue of homosexuality, I want you to think with me about this matter, and let's just center our thoughts around these three truths. First of all, I want to speak to you this morning about the homosexual's hunger. And then secondly, I want to speak to you about the homosexual's heartaches. And then finally, I want to speak to you about the homosexual's hope. But first of all, think with me about the homosexual's hunger. What is that which drives the homosexual to do that which he does? What is it that causes him to seek intimacy in a physical relationship with a person of the same sex? And I suggest to you that the answer to that is found in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, we read that, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him." Now, whether a person is homosexual or heterosexual, the Scripture says that God has made each one of us for fellowship with Himself. When God made the first man, Adam, He made him to have communion with Him. And God has made us for fellowship with Himself. There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every one of us, which only the Lord God Himself can fill. But a person who engages in a homosexual lifestyle is a person who is substituting the homosexual encounter for a relationship with the eternal God of this universe. Now, verse 21 says, "For all they knew God," although they knew God, that is, they knew about God. They knew that there was a Creator God. They didn't know Him in a personal way. They didn't have intimacy with Him, but they knew that God existed. And so they knew that God was real. But instead of seeking God, instead of giving God glory, instead of doing that very thing for which they were created by God to do, which is to give worship to God, the Scripture says they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking, their thought life became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22 says they claim to be wise, but instead they became fools. And they begin to engage in idolatry. In the first century times in which these words were penned by the Apostle Paul, they actually made images of wood or stone, images of birds and animals and reptiles, and bowed down. But their minds became futile and their hearts became darkened, and they found themselves worshiping idols. I suggest to you this morning there is a direct correlation between homosexual encounters and idolatry. What happens is God makes this person, this man, in His image, and He makes him for fellowship with Himself. But when his thinking becomes distorted and futile, and when his heart, his motions become darkened, then instead of seeking intimacy with God, he seeks intimacy in a homosexual encounter. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. Look in verses 24 and 25. "Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another." God in His Word says that our bodies are to be used for noble purposes, for honorable purposes. And the only sexual relationships that are honorable in the sight of God are those between a husband and a wife in a one-flesh relationship until death do us part. That is God's divine intention. But instead here, what you have are folks who they knew there was a God, they knew they were accountable to God, but instead they chose to walk away from God. Their thinking became corrupted, and so they find themselves not worshiping God, but worshiping the body of a person of the same sex. And God says it was foolish to them. But I want you to see with me that I have come to the conviction that these people And I know that's some that are here this day who are homosexual, who have these desires to engage in this kind of lifestyle. Their thinking has become corrupted, but what they really have a hunger for is God. You see, when a man is rightly related to the Lord God, and when he's in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he's intimate with Jesus, or when a woman is walking in intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no need for this other kind of immoral sexual relationship. Because Jesus satisfies the deepest longings and hungers of the human heart. Now, having said that, I might just go ahead and say, because the sin of sexual heterosexual immorality is far more rampant than the sin of homosexual immorality, that there are multitudes of people in our society who seek to fulfill this vacuum in their lives, not with a relationship with God, but they seek to fill this vacuum in their lives with a relationship, a sexual relationship, with a person of the opposite sex. And may I say that both are equally wrong. But I'm persuaded that the homosexual hungers to know God. And he or she is just looking for a fulfillment of that hunger in all the wrong places. Now, secondly, think with me, not just about the homosexual's hunger, but think with me now about the homosexual's heartache. And I say heartache because I believe that homosexuality is based on a distorted sexuality. It is a perversion of what God intended when He made us male and female. We are sexual creatures because God designed us that way. But homosexuality is a distortion. It is a perversion of God's original plan. Look in Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchange natural relations for unnatural ones. Now, God in His Word says that the women exchange the natural desire which God put in their heart for a husband and distorted that so that their desire became for another female. And I want you to notice these words here in verse 26. Natural relations for unnatural relations. Now, one of the myths of the gay lifestyle, the gay movement, is that they would say to us, well, that's just the way God made me. And heterosexual may be natural for you, but natural for me is homosexual. Now, my response to that is simply to say that God says it's unnatural. Now, we saw the drama before the sermon today of Diane drinking from the gasoline can. And all of us can identify with that. And boys and girls, you know not to drink from a gasoline can now. We know that's just a drama. That's not something you need to try. But we you know, those of us who are mature, we know that that's an unnatural act. It's natural to drink milk or orange juice or Dr. Pepper or Buffalo Rock Cola. Some of you know I like Buffalo Rock Cola, but it's not natural to drink gasoline. And as we learn in the drama, it's a deadly action. And homosexuality is a unnatural lifestyle. He says it about women who had burned with lust for other women in verse 26. Now, look in verse 27. He says the same thing about the men. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. And these men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Just as it's wrong for one woman to have a sexual encounter with another woman, it's equally wrong for a man to have a sexual encounter with another man. And the Scripture says it is unnatural. Now, hold your finger here in Romans chapter 1, but I want us to go quickly back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, because I want you to see for yourself what is the natural, normal plan of God regarding sexuality. Matthew chapter 9. Well, maybe it's 19. Let's see here. Yeah, 19. Begin with verse 4. Some Pharisees came up to check Jesus out and ask him some questions about divorce. And in response to that, in Matthew 19, verse 4 and following, Jesus said, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two but one. Therefore what God has joined together, let man not separate. Now, see with me here that God's original plan for the human race is that male and female would come together in the union, the one flesh relationship of marriage. And as a result of that, they would produce children. Now that's natural. Think about the homosexual lifestyle. How many children can come forth from a homosexual encounter? None. If every one of us made the choice to practice homosexual encounters only, in less than a century, the human race would cease to exist. Does that not say to you that homosexuality, whatever else it is an unnatural lifestyle? It is not a legitimate alternative lifestyle. It is a wrong lifestyle. It is a distorted lifestyle. It is a perverse lifestyle. And we do not do ourselves a favor. We do not do our society a favor. And we do not do our friends, if we happen to have homosexual friends, a favor. If we say, well, it's not right for me, but if you think it's right for you, then I honor you in your choice. God says it's unnatural. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look again in verse 28. Well, look back in the middle part of verse 27. Here we read that the men committed indecent acts with other men, and they received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Verse 28, furthermore, they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Now, when someone says the homosexual lifestyle is a gay lifestyle, let us remember that it's anything but. It's a sad lifestyle. It's a tragic lifestyle. It's a lonely lifestyle. It's not living. It's existing. It may not even be existing. It's just slowly dying. Kenny said it so well in his testimony. He said it is a lifestyle of death. It is a demonic lifestyle. When a person opens himself up to this kind of perverted sexuality, it is an invitation for evil spirits to come in and begin to take up residence in that person's life. And the bondage begins to multiply. One person who was delivered from this lifestyle wrote, and I quote, I knew from the very beginning that what I was doing was wrong. There was never any doubt in my mind that this is not the way God intended for His children to live. I did not like the lifestyle that I was in. I never felt comfortable about being there after those initial experiences. Once the thrill was gone, it was replaced with rationalizations and justification of my behavior. I knew deep down that it was sin. I read in my Bible that it was sin, but I refused to act based on that knowledge. The attraction of the homosexual world was more powerful than my desire to do what was right. It is a destructive lifestyle. It is an enslaving lifestyle. And God says in His Word, they received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Now, I know to use words like perversion flies in the face of what modern, sophisticated Americans think we ought to be. That's not my word. That's God's word. God says it is a perversion, and those who practice that receive a penalty for their perversion. Is that in fact the case? In our society, indeed it is. There is an epidemic of sexually transmitted diseases which are being passed from homosexual to homosexual, from lesbian to lesbian across our nation. Why is this so? Well, for the most part, these who practice this lifestyle, and I'm sure there may be some exceptions to this, but they're very rare, but for the most part, it's not, as we have been often led to believe, here two men who are committed to one another until death do them part, or here two women who are committed to one another until death do them part. No, in fact, it is a series of multiple partners. In one survey done by Bell and Weinberg of homosexuals, 74% of male homosexuals that they interviewed acknowledged that they had had more than 100 partners in their lifetime. 41% acknowledging having more than 500 partners in their lifetime. And 28% acknowledging having more than 1,000 different partners over the course of their lifetime. 75% said half of their sexual encounters were with strangers, people they didn't even know. Does that sound gay to you? God says they received the due penalty for their perversion. In another study of white male homosexuals ages 25 to 44, it was found that the death rate among homosexuals in this particular age group was 17 times greater by traffic accidents than heterosexual males of that same age group. It was found that the suicide rate was 26 times greater than heterosexuals, and that the death by heart attack was 23 times greater than among heterosexuals. It's a deadly lifestyle. And then there's AIDS. AIDS is a moral issue which has been politicized by the gay movement. But it's still a moral issue. How can it not be a moral issue when so many hundreds of thousands are dying just in our country and millions around the world? Now, all those folks who contract AIDS are not necessarily homosexual. Some contract it by heterosexual intercourse, and some contract AIDS by means of drugs. And sometimes they're infants who are born to mothers. But the predominance of people who have AIDS in the United States are those who are involved in the so-called gay culture. And there's no cure. There's no vaccine to stop AIDS. In every case, it's fatal. Oh, it may not kill you for 5 years or 10 years, but ultimately it will. And some of us have friends who've died from AIDS. Two of my friends from student days who were homosexual are now dead. They're AIDS victims. They're not just numbers and statistics. They're people that I knew. I know their face. I knew their family. They were my friends. And they chose a lifestyle of perversion. They contracted a deadly disease. And they're gone. We need some straight talk about homosexuality. Hear me today. Most of what you get in the media today is not honest. It is false. It is deceptive. And it is destroying the United States of America. When I talk to you about the homosexual's heartache, I'm talking about reality, my friends. It's real. There's sadness in the homosexual community. There's sorrow. There's tragedy. There's alienation. There's loneliness. There's rejection. But I don't want to close on a negative note today because there is a positive note. I don't want to just talk to you about the homosexual's hunger for God or the homosexual's heartache, which is the due penalty of his perversion. But I want to talk to you finally today about the homosexual's hope. There is hope. There is hope. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll begin with verse 9. First Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed. You are sanctified, you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, when we read verses 9 and 10, it sounds like the sinner's hall of fame, does it not? The sexually immoral, that is, those who are heterosexually immoral, the idolaters and adulterers, the prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers. It doesn't sound like the kind of crowd you'd meet in church. But notice what Paul says in verse 11. And that is what some of you were. When Paul took pen in hand to write this inspired letter to the Corinthian church, he says, some of you in this Corinthian congregation, some of you were thieves, and some of you were idolaters and adulterers and greedy and drunkards and homosexual offenders. That's what you were. Past tense. You were that. But you've been changed. On another occasion when Paul wrote the Corinthians, he said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Now, that's what they were. They were these things. And in that Corinthian congregation, there were folk who at one time were homosexual offenders. They were in the homosexual lifestyle. But I love the latter part of verse 11. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You were these things, but now you're something else. First of all, he says, you've been forgiven. In a congregation this size, I'm speaking to folk who are practicing homosexual offenders. And I'm speaking to some of you, you're wondering about your homosexual orientation. You've been told somewhere along the way, maybe wherever, it doesn't matter wherever you were told, that these desires that you have for same sex or people of the same sex are normal, and you can't decide if you're going to really go into that lifestyle or not. Maybe you're right there on the fence thinking about it, but you hadn't made the choice yet. I want you to hear the Word of God today. You don't have to go that way. And if you're already in that lifestyle, you can be delivered from that lifestyle. Thousands have been, and you can join their number. First of all, he says you were forgiven. He says you were washed. Do you want to be forgiven of your sin? Do you want to experience God's forgiving grace in your life? Then you must have your sins washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness of sins. But if we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us. It purifies us from every sin. And so you can be pardoned from your sin. You can be forgiven of your sin. You can be washed of your sin. Then he says to these Corinthian Christians, you were sanctified. This word sanctified means to be made holy. It means to be set apart for the purposes of God. It means you're set free. When you're sanctified and you're set apart for God's holy purposes, you are set free from Satan's evil designs in your life. And these Corinthian Christians had been sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Jesus is the liberator who has come to set us free from all of our temptations and all of our sins and all of the demonic strongholds that Satan would like to put in our path. Jesus can set you free. When somebody says to you, no, what you have is your lifestyle, the way God made you with that orientation, and you need to follow that lifestyle. No, listen to what God says. God says you can be sanctified. You can be delivered. You don't have to live that way. I don't mean to imply that it's going to be easy. There'll be struggles. There'll be battles. Battles for as long as life lasts, perhaps. But greater is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit who is within you than the one who is in the world. If you'll trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the supernatural power of His Spirit, He will give you the victory. There's forgiveness. You were washed. There's freedom. You were sanctified. And then finally, there is forensic righteousness, and you are justified. Now, when I say forensic righteousness, that's a legal term. And God is holy, and we are guilty before God because we've broken His commands. And because God is holy and we are sinners and guilty, then God must punish us because we have transgressed His laws. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has justified us. That means God has declared us not guilty. Now, it doesn't mean that you and I have not sinned. It just means that when God looks at us, God has clothed us in His righteousness so that He does not see us as dirty, rotten, guilty sinners deserving of hell, but He sees us as His sons and daughters whom He has justified. When God justifies us, it means He looks at us, and now when He sees us under the blood of Christ, He sees us just as if we never sinned, even the sin of homosexual encounters. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. I'm telling you, there's hope for the homosexual. The hope is in the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the forensic righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He gives to those whom He justifies when we trust Him as Lord and Savior. I read a few days ago a book that was emotionally touched my heart. It's written by a man by the name of Jerry Arterburn, who died at age 38 of AIDS. The title of it is, How Will I Ever Tell My Mother? Jerry was born and reared in Texas. When he was just a child, he went off to church camp. And the first night he ever went to church camp, he was saved. And while he was in his bed asleep that night after he was saved, an older camper came and woke him up and sexually molested him and put in his heart that day as just a child these kinds of desires. During his teenage years, he resisted that, but when he became an adult, he thought through and chose the homosexual lifestyle. Before he knew that he contracted AIDS, he repented of his sins and he came back to his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in his book, he penned some words that I want to read in conclusion today. I have a theory that many AIDS patients are dying before their time because of extreme guilt and condemnation. If you had Jesus Christ in your life and you were living with that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, I believe that you would experience life like you never imagined it. You would understand that this is no time to stop living. There are things to be done, and with Christ there is new joy to be found. In a sense, I'm grateful for my disease. Before it, I never dealt with the reality of life. I skipped through life with an egotistical misunderstanding of what it was all about. The disease has forced me back to the essential truths of life, truths that I found in the teachings and in the life of Christ. I would truly rather live two or three more days with His Spirit in me than spend another 36 years living the way I was living. The old way is just not worth it. I believe that you know that also. In knowing it, I hope that you too will reach out for eternal hope that is found in Christ. The only hope you'll ever find, whether you're a homosexual offender or a heterosexual offender, whether you're a thief or a drunkard or whatever you may be, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I declare to you today, there is grace and mercy sufficient for any sinner, anywhere, who will confess his or her sin and humble himself or herself before God and ask for God's mercy. God, give us grace to trust and obey the author of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow and pray.